and I want to welcome you to the podcast for this week. On the I Want to Know More podcast this week, we're going back to the book of John, John chapter number 4. John chapter number 4, and I believe we're going to begin reading once again down at verse number 5. John chapter number 4 and verse number 5, we dealt with the parcel of land that Jacob gave Joseph after he purchased it. He purchased a parcel that was already his. That's the piece that really is interesting to me. But anyway, verse number 5, John chapter number 4. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Let's stop there for just a moment. We need to deal with a detail here. And this detail is that Jesus was wearied with his journey. He was wearied with his journey. Now, I've preached on this subject of being weary. The Bible tells us to not be weary in well-doing. The word weary means to be tired of something specific. If you're weary of, well, commercialized Christmas, like I am, by the time Christmas came around, it was really hard for me to get into the spirit of Christmas this year. You know, it really was, for a lot of different reasons, but the early commercialization and how early things were out on the shelf, that just turns me off to anything. And I get wearied with the gifts and the commercialized things and decorations and all these things. And I love them, but at the same time, you can get weary of them. And that is a particular kind of tired. It's kind of like, if you eat the same food enough times, you can get weary. It might be your favorite food, but you can get weary with it. Or you can be in a job. That's why, and I love what Brother Barton says about this. He says, sometimes you got to come apart before you come apart. And I've been in that situation before where I really just needed to have a break. And if I had to go another day in the work, then it would just be too much. The Bible says not to be weary in well-doing. But here, our Lord Jesus was wearied in his journey. Let's read that just one more time. Let's make sure we get the words right here. The word needs to be just exactly right, because certain words are important. It says, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. He was wearied with the journey. And can you blame him? He's being rejected right and left. The Jews are rejecting him. His own people in Nazareth and up near that area, they're rejecting him. It's a wearisome thing to continually preach to folks, and it feels like they're not listening, or they're actively unlistening. They're tuning you out. Now, I'm thankful that I don't have that problem these days. Macedonia, I feel like everybody's keeping good attention, and I thank them for it at the end of the service every time. Try to, at least. But I have been in places, and I have been in services, and I've been both on the preaching end and on the end in the congregation that was wearied with the preacher. Wearied with the same preacher and the same things. And it's good for preachers to bring missionaries in, and good for a little change up, good for revival meetings to bring an evangelist in or another pastor or several of them. It changes up things a little bit, and it's good for us. If we're not careful, we will get weary with the journey. Wearied with the journey. And have similar meanings, but the senses are a little different. Our Lord was not wearied of his journey. That is, he was not tired of preaching to people. He was not tired of ministering to people. But in his journey, his physical movements, he was getting tired. His flesh was tired. As he said in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He understood that very, very well. And the sixth hour, roughly noon, middle of the day, it's the hot part of the day. He's wearied with his journey. He must needs go through Samaria, but now he's made the travels, and here we are on the stop in the road at Jacob's well, and he is wearied with his journey. And some of that cool water, but somebody needs to come draw it for him. He doesn't have anything to draw. The well is deep. My Thompson Chain Reference archaeological supplement says that the bottom of the well is 105 feet. That's a ways. That's a ways, especially if you don't have any way of lowering a bucket into that well. And even today, there are great grooves worn in the stone where ropes have gone and been used to lower buckets and raise buckets back up full of water, cool, clear water, from both the surface water and subterranean springs. It is both a well and a cistern, is what the archaeological supplement tells me. And our Lord, he was there, he was right there, ready for refreshment, but it was out of reach. Now, this is the condition of the lost man. Now, I realize Christ is never the type of the lost man, but this is an illustration of the condition of a lost man. The lost man, he's wearied with his journey. He's wearied with what's going on. He's ready for a change. He's ready for something different. He's ready to go past what being lost is, but he doesn't have a way of getting to the water. It's impossible. There must be a rope and must be a bucket. There must be a way of getting that water. Now, in this case, Christ is the one that he's there thirsty. He's wearied. He's tired. Or as the old timers around these parts would say, he's tarred. There's a difference between tired and tarred. Tarred is bone weary. I mean, you're wore out. And of course that war and weary, that all means something that wears on you. And his journey is wearing on him. It is. You know, I've been through a few things in the last few years, and a good friend of mine told me one day, we was talking, he said, you've had a couple of hard years, haven't you? I said, well, yeah, there's been a couple of things that have been, that's really worn on me. He says, I can tell. He says, you've aged a lot in these last couple of years. I said, well, thanks, brother. I appreciate that. But fact of the matter is, the journey can get tiring. It can. Not only can it, it will. It will. As long as you are in the flesh, you will get weary. How do I know this? Christ got weary. Okay? He's God. He's the Son of God. He's capable of taking care of everything. He's the one who spoke the world into existence. He's the one that made this place. He's the one that grew up as a tender branch without form or comeliness. He's the one who obeyed his parents even when they were wrong. He was subject to them, according to the book of Luke, chapter number 1. He was He was subject to them even if they were wrong. Even when they were wrong. Because the fact of the matter is, Jesus was always right. He was sinless. He never sinned. He never lied as a kid. He never stole anything. He never did anything wrong. But he was subject to his parents. Subject to them. Even though he was the perfect Son of God. Right there should be a type and an example for teenagers today. If Christ can do it, why can't you? Your parents aren't perfect? Absolutely not. But they're doing the best they can. If they're born again and godly and Christian, they're doing the best they can. And no, they're not going to be perfect. And yes, sometimes you may know things they don't know. Sometimes you may know better. But if Christ was subject to his parents, oh my, That flies like a lead balloon in today's world, doesn't it? In fact, that flies like a lead balloon in my generation's time. Back in the 70s and 80s, that would have flown like a lead balloon then. Yeah, and then the previous generation before that, the boomers in the 60s, the counterculture of the 60s, the idea of being subject to your parents, just like Christ was subject to his, that would have been something that would not have flown very well, would have flown like a lead balloon would have. And you know, that's quite the statement to make, that Christ was subject to his parents. He was sinless, and yet, he got weary. And folk, this is what makes Christ approachable by humans. This is what makes him, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. But he dealt with what it was like to be in the flesh. He understands our grief. He's acquainted with grief. A man of sorrows. He knows. He sees. He feels. The Bible also says he was tempted in every way, like as we are, yet without sin. He held it in control, even in the midst of temptations. And we have no clue what kind of temptations, other than he was tempted in like manner as we all. The temptations that we go through even today, Christ had that temptation. I wonder if somebody tempted him with getting drunk on alcohol. I wonder if some young woman tempted him with illicit pleasures. I wonder if somebody tempted him and said, wouldn't you love to have this? Well, why don't you just go take it? It'll be okay. I wonder if he had friends growing up that said, well, why do you have to always be honest about things? It'll be okay. They ain't going to catch you. They're not going to figure it out. You can just tell them whatever. No, our Lord never sinned. Tempted, yes. Sinned, no. In no form or fashion did he ever sin, in thought or in deed. The temptation of the flesh would rear up its ugly head, and he'd have it in check right quick-like before any sin could be conceived. He was in control. He's God, after all. He cannot sin. He will not sin, yes, but he cannot sin. And the temptation must have been excruciating for him as the days wore on. And here, he's feeling the age of his body. He has grown up as a carpenter, a very rough profession. He's 30 years old, which I know that's young, but at the same time, it's the beginning of your middle-aged years, and your body starts wearing out, especially if you've worked hard. The harder you've worked, the more your body will wear out, and the quicker it'll wear out. And unfortunately, that's just the way it works. And he worked hard. And so his body had aches and pains. He might have had backaches. He might have had legs that ache and tingle and with sciatica, you know. Could he have healed himself? Absolutely. Let's make that clear. But I don't believe he would have. I believe he intended to experience what it was like to be burdened with this flesh. And he experienced it to the full. And I know this because the Bible says he was wearied with his journey. He's an approachable Savior because he knows what it's like to get weary. He knows what it's like to stand before a crowd of people and just barely have enough energy to speak, much less preach. He understands what that's like. He understands what it's like to walk and go places and have your feet hurt and your legs hurt and your hips hurt and your back hurt and your throat be dry and it be hot and dusty and your whole mouth feels like it's on fire and your tongue feels like it's withering up and right there's a well, but you have no way of getting the water. Of course, he knew what he was going to do. He knew who was going to be there. But that does not take away from the fact that the Bible says he was wearied with his journey. He feels like we do. That body of flesh felt pain. It felt aches. It felt it when it got sick. And, you know, I don't know if he ever got sick as a kid or as a young adult. I don't know. I don't know if he ever had a sprain or anything. I don't believe he had any broken bones. The Bible says not a bone of his body was broken. I don't know if that's just applying to the cross, or if that applies to his whole life. I don't know. The Bible does say he was without spot or blemish. Of course, I know that means spiritually more than fleshly. But I wonder if he ever got injured. I wonder if he ever got sick. He got wearied. He got wearied. He had to sleep. Or he did sleep. He was asleep in the boat, remember? When they crossed the Sea of Galilee and the storm was against them and they had to wake him up, he was asleep. Asleep. Our Lord could get weary. And this right here, even in the midst of him being weary, him being thirsty, he asks this woman for a drink. He asks her, "Would you draw me a drink, please?" And it shocks her that he even talks to her. It shocks her that he's even speaking to her. Now, folk, he's weary. I don't see where she ever did draw him a drink. He's still weary. He's still weary. He's still thirsty. Of course, he could have just wished his body to not feel thirst, and that it would have, a mouthful of water would have appeared inside his mouth and he would have swallowed it and been fine. He's capable of doing that. I know that. He allowed himself to feel weary. He allowed himself to thirst. He allowed himself so that he would understand what it was like to be us. Now that's, I know that sounds odd. But he's acquainted with grief. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Don't you know? Now, I'm speculating a little bit when I say this, okay? So don't you dare say that Brother Lamar said that the Bible said this. This is an Owenism, okay? A Lamarism, Owenology, if you will. If Joseph was dead at the time that Christ began his ministry, and all signs point to Joseph not being around. His mother's there, Mary's there, his brethren are there, his sisters are there, but we're not told Joseph was ever there. After his birth, and after he was 12 years old, we're not told anything else about Joseph. It's very possible that he had passed away at this point. Now, Christ, the Son of God, being raised by this man, loved him as a son should love his parents. He followed the honor thy father and thy mother strictly, I'm sure. He honored his father. He loved his father. And then one day his father died. This is Jesus Christ here we're talking about. The man who would later raise Lazarus from the dead. The man who would raise himself from the dead. The man who could heal anyone of any sickness. The man who took Jairus' daughter and raised her up off of that bed dead. Allowed his father to die so he would be acquainted with grief. The Lord was wearied with his journey. Is it mean to say I'm glad that he felt weariness? Does that mean to say that? It's not that I'm glad he felt it. It's that I'm glad he understands it. When you get weary in your journey and with your journey, you can go to the Lord. He knows how it feels. He knows what it's like. And I can just imagine him, the Son of God, standing there as his father's funeral is being conducted. And he's got the power. He's got the power to bring him back, but it wasn't God's will. And the flesh ached, and the flesh hurt, and the flesh grieved over his mother, over his mother's grief. And she was his biological mother. As he watched his mother grieve over the loss of that good man, Joseph. Because Joseph was a good man. He was a good man. He was a good dad. He was a good husband. And Mary loved him. And as Mary grieved, I'm sure our Lord did too. Acquainted with grief. Folk, he knows how you feel. He knows why you feel that way even when you don't. He knows the root cause. And in this new year of 2026, after the hustle and bustle of Christmas and the New Year's holidays, and now we got winter in front of us, there's more deaths by self-inflicted deaths. There's more self-inflicted deaths in the wintertime because the days are short, the nights are long, the weather is cold, everything's gray and dreary. It's easy to get weary when it's dreary. But folk, the Lord knows. He's been there. He knows what it's like to be weary with his journey. He knows what it's like to have calluses and blisters on his feet and on his hands. He knows what it's like to have a hip that when you stand up just doesn't want to bend right. He knows what it's like to have knees that ache and they don't want to move right. He knows. Because he was wearied with his journey too. He cares. He allowed that to happen to himself so he would know how it felt for you and he could give you comfort. Unique comfort, because he really does know what it's like. He really does know how it feels. He really has walked a mile in your shoes. And child of God, when you're wearied with your journey, remember that he was too, and reach out to him in prayer, and he'll give you help. He'll give you help. He'll give you help like nobody else can. If nothing else, he'll show you somebody who can give you medical help. Sometimes you do need medical help for these things. I'm thankful that the Lord allowed himself to be wearied with his journey. And I want to thank you for listening to the podcast for this week. I Want to Know More is a podcast ministry of Brother Lamar Owen. I'm out of the Macedonia Baptist Church located in the Silverstein community of Transylvania County. To correspond with me, please email broadcast@lamarowen.net. Again, that's broadcast@lamarowen.net. And join us here again next week for I Want to Know More.